happening over here in just a few moments. We'll have Viva Fry on the program, former litigator and podcast host, to put down the very latest, especially in regards to that WAPO reporter who just had their home raided by the FBI. We'll be having him weigh in on that. Plus, Matthew Marsden is joining us in the third hour of the program because I got a lot to ask him. As many of you guys know, Matthew is an actor, producer, but most importantly, a parent who's fired up and angry about the trannies who have infiltrated schools, but most importantly, girls' sports. So he's joining us to discuss that, plus all of the left-wing terrorists who were targeting ICE agents. So he's got a lot to sound off on that front in just a bit. But, you know, when it comes to the tranny issue, when it comes to biological men who are mentally disturbed going into women's spaces, we've got a lot of fighters in this movement, specifically one fighter who is apparently a Grammy-nominated singer, and many of you guys are familiar with her confrontation that she got into over at the gym in L.A. with a biological man who was entering, exposing himself to women in the women's locker room. Tish Hyman is a bit of a fighter these days, and she's not backing down anytime soon. She will not allow biological men to enter into women's spaces without you hearing from her. And she's going off right now at Ed Markey, a senator right now, in clip 18. Take a listen.
I want to find out who this is. Anybody know who that is? Who that? All these transies taking pictures with him. I wonder who that is. I'll ask him. Hey, sir, nice suit. Okay, who are you? Who are you? I see everybody hugging you. You got the trans
senator.
The senator of where?
Senator from Massachusetts, yeah.
Ed from where?
Ed Markey, yeah.
Ed Markey. Yeah.
There are a few senators we got to vote out, and this is one of them. This is a senator we got to vote out. The grown man fighting to be in a women's locker room. Ain't that something? An old man fighting to be in a women's locker room. Yeah, go ahead. Disgusting. You want to be in a women's locker room? You're a grown man. And you women are disgusting. You're all women. How can you even want men in the locker rooms with you? You're women. You don't got to stand in front of me, bro. You're not going to do shit to me. You guys, don't follow me. Back up from me, bro. I'm not one of those people. Let me explain something to you. You fighting to have men in the women's locker room? That's disgusting. What kind of man are you? Get out of here, because we're getting you out of the office. You're getting out of the office, sir. Watch me come for you. You're out. You're old. You're disgusting. You're a perv. And you girls are disgusting for supporting men in women's sports. You don't get laid? You want to see penis in the locker room? You're weirdos. Tish Hyman's here, and it's done. That trans is over.
Stop making black people the voice of your
movement. We black people don't support that shit.
Period.
That shit's over.
That shit's over. Good on her, folks. Good on her. We're done with all of this. This nonsense, this needs to end, and it will end because the American people have had enough of this. Women will not be subjected to biological men entering our spaces and trying their best to be perverts. You know, back in the day, we used to call them perverts. Now we call them trans. We call them trans. So it's refreshing to see women stepping up to the plate and saying enough is enough. We're not allowing this because so many people are afraid to be called a name and they don't want to comply with it. So that's usually what stops them from doing just that. All right, folks, I just got a little bit of breaking news in regards to, since we're on the topic of Texas, AG Ken Paxton. Again, I always think that he is the best one that we have. He just sent over a release in regards to his efforts to crunch down on Medicaid fraud. Texas AG Ken Paxton's Medicaid Fraud Control Unit has crushed last year about 180 indictments. 123 people have been arrested for healthcare fraud cases. And what does that mean? Well, he's recovered about $125 million in taxpayer dollars for the people. For the people. So this is big news. Big news coming from the Texas AG's office. Again, one of the very few who's going out there and crunching down on all of this. You know, so many politicians allow it. They don't mind it. Well, they're probably getting kickbacks. But Ken Paxton, again, that's why it's so important. I know he's running for the Senate. He will likely win there. But it's very important for us to make sure we put in a fighter because there's no other AG like Ken Paxton. No other AG like Ken Paxton. So good on him. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just extended that sale, 40% off site-wide for the mega sale going on right now. It's been extended for a couple more hours, so head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You also have only a limited time to enter to win that Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash. That giveaway is still going on right now. A couple of days left over at thealexjonesstore.com. More underway in just a few moments.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity.
The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're seeing a bit of a pulse coming from the DOJ right now, so we wanted to make sure we brought you the very latest there. It looks like the DOJ and the FBI with the Department of War have just gone out there and raided the home of a Washington Post journalist. Now, normally I'd say, oh, we don't like that, right? Leave journalists alone. But it appears that this individual may have some ties to an individual who's currently incarcerated. We'll get to Pam Bondi's response and all of this because she just put out a statement a couple moments ago that we did brief over. We did a little briefing on. But Hannah Nathanson, she is the WAPO journalist who is being accused of possibly having classified information in her possession. Now, that information would have been given to her if these allegations are true by a Pentagon contractor. That's according to AG Pam Bondi's office. She put out a statement just a couple of moments ago saying that all three groups have worked together to execute the search warrant at a home of the Washington Post journalist who was obtaining and reporting classified and illegally leaked information from Pentagon contractor. The leaker is currently behind bars right now. Obviously, that stuff is easy to track. I don't know why people do this. But that is the very latest there. Joining us to discuss is Viva Fry. He's a former litigator and obviously a podcast host over on Rumble. He does a great job every day of breaking down these headlines. And, you know, I had to bring this story to the people because, you know, we have to say the DOJ, it seems like is showing a little bit of a pulse these days. We're hearing several stories coming out, especially because the president's saying, according to the Wall Street Journal, that he's not very happy with AG Pam Bondi. Not enough's been done there, according to their report. Also, by the way, I haven't heard the White House denying that report. But Viva, before we kick off there, I wanted to get your reaction in regards to the FBI carrying out this raid right now over at this Washington Post journalist's home.
Okay, I would need to wait for more details. A little skeptical. You know, you see, you have to apply the same standards when it's done against someone you might not like. Washington Post, I frequently call it the Washington Compost, propagandist outlet, doesn't necessarily mean that you would then tolerate what you would not tolerate or otherwise criticize if it were done to you. I need to wait for more details, but that landmark case, New York Times versus the U.S., in which the government sought to prevent publication of highly classified information that was leaked to the New York Times about Department of Defense stuff during Vietnam. And they could not block publication because, they hadn't shown the irreparable harm to national interest, whatever the criteria was. So on the one hand, if this is an activist journalist participating in, soliciting or asking for someone to break the law to leak classified information, you might have a bit of a different circumstance. If it's someone who is a bona fide journalist, even at a propagandist outlet, you don't want her house getting raided and her sources getting stolen by the government any more than you would tolerate it with James O'Keefe, for example, when he got raided for allegedly conspiring to steal Ashley Biden's diary. Of course, the difference being we're dealing with potentially classified information, in which case, I would revert to the New York Times. We'll wait for more information to come out. It's just, also a little bit of the cynic in me. You see it in the headline of my Twitter bio. This comes when there's public pressure against Bondi to act. And so who do you act against? Well, don't go after deep state actors. Go after Washington Compost journalists where you think you'll have little political pushback for what might be questionable raids on journalists.
Yeah. Well, that would definitely be an easy win for them. Again, we don't want the low-hanging fruit. We want the people who were out here and trying to destroy this country for several years now. We want them to be held accountable. And so you're right there. But speaking of that, kind of gives us a good pivot, because we just heard from James Comer, who obviously is the chairman of the Oversight Committee in regards to the Clintons. You know, Comer's done a good job, as best as one you could expect from a politician at this point. He's made several criminal referrals on several other cases, including Merrick Garland. I want to play clip 10 for you first, because in this, Comer saying, you know, I've already presented them with criminal referrals over at the DOJ. Nothing's really happening over there. And then he specifically details Merrick Garland being one to prosecute next. Take a listen.
House Oversight Chairman Congressman James Comer joins us now. And sir, it's good to have you back on. Can you name the most egregious actions that you think the DOJ is sleeping on here?
Well, first of all, we worked very hard to investigate Dr. Fauci. We proved where he lied to Congress. That obviously is a felony. We gave criminal referrals to the Department of Justice. Now, this was when Merrick Garland was there, but the statute of limitations is 5 years. So all of our criminal referrals are still ready to be taken, picked up and run with. Obviously, the Biden investigation, we spent a lot of time on that. We proved where the Bidens lied about the money they got from China. We subpoenaed the bank records, which is very difficult to get the bank records of a sitting president of the United States and their family. But we did that. We proved, we followed the money without a shadow of a doubt that it came from China. And there's been no action on those criminal referrals. And there are other investigations. We did the AutoPen investigation and proved without a doubt that Joe Biden was never in the room. He was never had meetings on his schedules. He never met with anyone. No one ever saw him authorize those pardons. That was a months long investigation where we brought in people for depositions all during the summer. And when the government was shut down, we were still working on that. And yet the pardons haven't been officially declared null and void yet. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're now focused on Minnesota fraud.
Yeah, so obviously James Comer is expressing his frustrations over at the DOJ, and he's done this. This is now the second time he's expressed this. What do you make of his comments? Because obviously the Merrick Garland one would be a massive win if the DOJ got involved there.
Well, you know, in law, and I used to practice back in the day, lawyers could only be so rude with judges, and judges could only be so rude with lawyers, even when they disagreed with them. So there was always a polite way of, you know, telling someone they're not doing their job. That's what Comer is doing right now. And it's not, I think it's the second time Comer's been suggesting it publicly, mm-hmm. politely, but, you know, we've given her recommendations. Why hasn't she acted? Is what you call a public spanking. And you had, I get mixed up between Rand Paul and Rain Paul. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, Paul, who was just on Rogan.
Rand,
he's talking about it too. Like, the pressure to act is coming from other politicians. It's coming from social media. It's coming from political, legal analysts and commentators. And at some point, it's just inexcusable. And the wait, and Harmeet Dhillon doing her best to politely defend Bondi's inaction by suggesting, yes, statute of limitations is one thing, but conspiracy, toll statute of limitations, RICO, you don't have statute of limitations, you know, they're longer statute of limitations. You have Comer saying it right now. These are things that lapse over time. And you don't want to have to start arguing conspiracy, ongoing conspiracy, or RICO, because you've let the statute of limitations lapse when it's pretty clear cut. So yeah, it's about time that there's some public pressure. The White House hasn't really denied that story that, you know, could be, that one came out of the Wall Street Journal, could be intended to sow discord among the Trump administration. But it also could be that Trump is very frustrated with Bondi's inaction. And we've seen evidence of that where he posted what some say was intended to be a private text to Pam Bondi saying, get things done. And now, all right, good. So she went after a Washington Post journalist, a pulse, a very weak pulse. But that's not what people wanted by way of action.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's the reality of it, is they keep saying that, oh, things are happening behind the scenes, but we're not seeing anything of substance. And in comparison to what we saw under the Biden regime, how quickly they were able to go out there, round up hundreds of individuals who may have taken an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th, and then stack up the charges, conspiracy charges slapped in there, as well as trying to get terrorist enhancements. It's really hard for the American people to wrap their minds around the lack of actions that have been, you know, carried out thus far. And we're hearing, obviously, again, that Tish James is under investigation for possibly maybe campaign funds being misused. You're also hearing Jerome Powell's name getting floated out there. And obviously, these are bad characters, but these aren't the key characters the American people want to see held accountable for what they've done to this country. And I think that's the real key element to all of this. But, you know, I want to hover over the Bill and Hillary Clinton thing a little bit, because Comer came out just a few moments ago, and we played it on the show, talking about how, you know, these people that we've tried working with them, we've you know, flexed with the date a little bit of when they were supposed to come in and speak to us, and now they're just flat out coming out saying, we're not going to come in and talk to you. They obviously think that they're immune to prosecution here, and Bill Clinton putting out a statement yesterday, which was laughable, pretending to be a patriot fighting for the American people, put that statement out on X, they quickly turned off his comment so no one can comment on it. But what do you make of all of this? Because, again, the Clintons, we know that they have been immune to prosecutions, to criminal investigations, and all we get are a couple of sound bites from Republicans fired up about it, but nothing more. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, people say, well, it took Merrick Garland 2.5 years before he indicted Trump. That may be true. It took him 3 weeks to indict Steve Bannon after he was held in contempt of Congress. 3 weeks. And it took him a matter of days before, you know, getting involved in initiating the most sprawling investigation in DOJ American history as relates to the Jan 6 persecution of everyone who participated. So don't give me this nonsense. Well, even Merrick Garland took a couple of years to... No, it took him a couple of years to get to the culmination of lawfare. He started on day one, and I'm not suggesting lawfare. Make them live by their own standards. I don't know if it's a Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. Make them live by their own standards. The Steve Bannon... prosecution for contempt of Congress is their standard. Bill and Hillary Clinton want to come out and say, yeah, we got your subpoenas to testify, but no, we're not going to, because it's time to stand up to the rule of law by defying the rule of law. Okay, hold them in contempt of Congress and indict them. So it should take about 3 weeks, maybe a month. They should be held in contempt. And what's amazing is, you know, both of them, Hillary and Bill Clinton, put out their message identical. What is it? This is not left versus right. This is left. This is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. Mm-hmm. Horse crap. Testify behind closed doors. I'd like to know the context of Bill Clinton getting a deep tissue massage by Virginia Giuffre, that infamous picture. I'd like to know what he was doing in that jacuzzi and who he was next to in that jacuzzi. I've seen two Bill Clinton O faces that I don't care to see ever again in my wildest nightmares. Oh, no, no, but they've decided it's right versus wrong. And they're in the right by defying a subpoena. Contempt. And go to jail for 4 months like Bannon did. And deprive them of their defenses when they go to a politically partisan court. Bring them into court in Florida. Deny them their defenses. Lock them up for 4 months. Just 4 months. Just a little taste of justice, because no one is above the law.
Yeah, well, that's their rules. So we should be playing by those rules. And, you know, it's crazy because that jacuzzi photo that you alluded to here, you know, sorry to put it up again, but I was deeply concerned because obviously we were told that victims were going to be redacted, and there's someone's face that's completely redacted in all of this. We've never gotten a behind the scenes and like a detailed report as to what's actually going on here. Because if that's a victim, why is she in a jacuzzi with Bill Clinton? That's worth asking and worth getting a response to. And again, Jeffrey Epstein made over a dozen visits to the White House while Bill Clinton was over at the White House. And that's unheard of for most individuals to make and have that much access to the president of the United States. So this is all something that's definitely worth exploring. And I hope we could get to that point at one point. But so far, the Clintons are not going to do just that. They're not going to comply. But speaking of complying, you know, you alluded to it too before in your response, the Senator Rand Paul interview that was done, and he details specifically how he's working with RFK Jr. to prosecute Anthony Fauci. Take a listen to clip 11.
Well, one thing we do know is that when Biden left office, he was granted this very bizarre pardon where he got a pardon that goes back to 2014 for crimes he was never accused of. Never convicted. I mean, it's got to be one of the first times that anybody's ever been pardoned.
Yeah, and I think it should be challenged. And so we have, under the Biden administration, I sent criminal referrals for Anthony Fauci to Merrick Garland twice, and I sent them evidence that he had lied to Congress, which was a felony. They just ignored me. I've been working with Bobby Kennedy, and he's been very helpful on this. I have a good relationship with him. He's given us a lot of information, and we've looked at the communications. And in Anthony Fauci's communications, we now have evidence that he was telling people like Francis Collins, read this and destroy it. Well, you can't do that. The executive branch, when they communicate, they're required to keep their communications, and they're required to do it on government devices. So we have this evidence, and I've summarized it again in a criminal referral to Trump's attorney general, and I still haven't gotten action. But there's a couple reasons we should do it. One, he shouldn't get away with lying. He shouldn't get away with destroying records. But two, we should check the pardon. Is an auto pen pardon valid? And is a pardon, a retrospective pardon back 10 years that doesn't mention a crime? Can you give people a pardon for everything they did in 10-year period? I can't imagine, and I think the court might narrow that. But it doesn't happen unless the Trump Justice Department will do something. And I've been sending them referrals, and I can't get them to do anything. I can't guarantee they'll win. They might lose, but they ought to go to court. Take it to court.
I mean, one would think that's basic, right? Take this to court, fight it out in the courts. And for some reason, they're still not doing it. Your reaction to Rand Paul, kind of just saying, you know, I've been trying to work on this with RFK Jr. That's something I think that was breaking news.
Well, you know, I was listening to that while I was jogging, and it's very difficult to jog while you're enraged. But refreshing my memory on everything that Fauci did, it will enrage you, even if you're a pacifist, sissy, snowflake Canadian, as some people like to call me. He's right. You got to test these things. And it's not to say strip the president of his power to pardon. It's to say maybe constitutionally there should be a scope. There should be a delineation in a pardon as to what it can and cannot cover or how broad it can cover. Because you imagine, like, one of the ideas is concealing a crime would be like evidence of tolling statute of limitations. So you say, well, I could not have known about the crime because they were actively concealing it. Are you going to give a pardon for that which someone might have actively been concealing from the person who might have been, you know, tempted to give them a pardon? So bring him into court, test them, and not lawfare. Just clarify this. Have the courts come out and say there's no limit to the breadth and scope of a presidential pardon. It can be prospective, retroactive, blanket, unspecified, whatever. Have the courts say that, but do something. Now we have useful information, and oh, it's good. It goes out into the internet, and people complain that the auto pen was abused by a demented, senile old man who might not have been operating it, and people are operating it and cashing the checks for when they operate it. Take it to court and at least set the parameters of what is going to be a constitutionally recognized pardon and the scope of it. But right now, it's crickets from Bondi, except here's a little, not even low-hanging fruit, like here's a little dash of meat for the mob. Oh, we've raided a Washington Post journalist's house. That's going to be the nice distraction from all the other inaction that Comer and Paul have been bringing to the forefront now. It looks like showmanship. It looks like not even too little too late, but just a distraction from the inaction. And it is about time for Trump to get frustrated, impatient, and looking at the real alternatives to replace Bondi. She's been the weakest link for at least 6 months now. And it's culminating in unnecessary damage that can be righted before the midterms if Trump takes hard, concrete action right now.
Yeah, and that's really important for folks to understand. I get, like, a lot of people are on edge, and they're like, we don't know who'd come in next, and that's something that if we were to replace, obviously, Pam Bondi would be a deep concern. But again, it's also not just her. It's Todd Blanche as well, who I'm constantly told by reliable sources and even people on his team that my sources are great, but that a lot of things are falling on his desk and then they're not being carried out or carried through. And I'm just told that there's a lot on his desk, and that's the reason why for the delay. But that's not good enough. If there's a lot on your desk and you need assistance, you hire more staffers. I'm pretty sure you get the funding pretty quickly. But we do have a Republican majority here, too. None of this makes any sense. They're just hoping, and they're just speaking over the American people and trying to say, oh, you're not intelligent enough to understand this, when they're trying to explain and walk over all of this in regards to how come we haven't seen anything really kind of pan out for us as of right now. We haven't seen any major arrests. We were also told there were 3 arrests, never got a mugshot, never saw anything. And obviously the court's throwing out 2 of those indictments again. So we're just over it. We're very upset about all of this. But, you know, you're talking about what happened earlier today and how that might have created a little bit of a fire to pretend like things are actually happening over the DOJ. I wanted to talk about this because you and I have spoken about this probably a couple of times by now. The J6 suspected pipe bomber, Brian Cole Jr., is someone who was quickly apprehended after the blaze broke a story and made an allegation about another person being the pipe bomber. But it looks like things are being pushed through the courts pretty quickly. But ultimately, Brian Cole Jr.'s lawyer obviously saying that he's not guilty of what they've accused him of. But most importantly, in clip 12, believes that Cole is actually pardoned by President Trump. Take a listen.
The judge called this a January 6th adjacent case during the hearing. Do you agree with that?
For purposes of the pardon, I absolutely agree with it.
What do you mean?
So I think you have to employ some kind of common sense as applied to the allegations. So if the allegations are that he went out there and he sat down these components, and that they were found on January 6th. The judge says that it's a part of January 6th. The pardon says that you're allowed to get a pardon for everything related to the events that occurred on or at the Capitol on January 6th. Like I said, we're going to talk about that at a later date, but I do believe that.
Sounds like you believe it's a strong argument he should get pardoned.
100%.
Of Trump's pardon is broad. It says the president will grant a full, complete, and unconditional pardon to all other individuals convicted of offenses related to events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021.
All right, so it's an interesting take to have. Obviously, he's a criminal defense attorney, so he's going to argue whatever he can. But do you think Brian Cole Jr. was, if he is the suspect of the J6 pipe bomber, do you think that he was given a pardon? Because the pardon itself does sound a little vague.
I do not think he was given a pardon, even if, you know, if he is the individual who is guilty of doing what he's accused of doing, I reserve the right to be wrong. I don't read it as covering him or his actions. A, he wasn't charged. He wasn't convicted. And his actions took place on January 5th, if we believe the official allegations, and not on January 6th. And I hope to all things holy that his attorneys are not saying, confess or plead. Yeah, he pleaded not guilty after the confession. And, you know, there is a way to make that make sense is he could confess to certain acts, because if he was used as something of a pawn or a patsy, he might have done some of the actions, but he might be criminally not guilty either because it was entrapment or because he's mentally unfit to be criminally responsible for the legal consequences of his actions. So that you could make that make sense. I just hope they're not saying, confess to certain things and then we'll argue pardon, because it would be a terrible strategy to confess to that which you need not confess to, or that which is incorrect, in the hopes of being covered in a pardon that I don't think, even reading it broadly, covers actions that occurred on January 5th and covers actions for which there were no charges or convictions. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe people are going to say Viva's out in left field. I don't think I am, and I've read that pardon over and over again to see how it is that anybody's going to say it covers anyone and anything tangentially related to the events of January 6th, even if they occurred on January 5th. No, it was specific. It pardoned and commuted people who were convicted and those that were charged or convicted. And so I don't see it covering it, but we'll see. I mean, you're dealing with a jury pool that might be amenable to sticking it to Trump and saying, ha ha, Trump, now we get to say this guy's covered by your pardon. Don't you look silly? But I believe this kid is criminally innocent in the first place. And we'll see what happens as more information comes out.
Yeah, no, you're not alone on this one. It's not adding up right now. What we've seen thus far in the criminal complaint, it doesn't scream that they caught the guy who did this. And based on their response, based on how quickly they went in and arrested him after another report came out, I got to say, it's all very suspicious. But Viva, thank you for joining us as always. We appreciate your time. Viva Fry, guys, give him a follow on X. He's a former litigator and a podcast host as well. Does an incredible job. If you're on Rumble, give him a follow there as well. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. We appreciate your insight as always. Yeah.
Have a good one.
Have a great one. Folks, we're keeping our eye right now in the White House because it looks like, according to reports, that Denmark and Greenland officials are actually at the White House right now. And they are expected to be meeting with the Vice President, J.D. Vance, as well as the Secretary, Marco Rubio, outside. Right now, there's a video. It looks like that it's Monica Crowley outside greeting the group of officials that are apparently present right now. We're going to keep our eye on this, of course, because President Trump renewing his push to obtain Greenland. It's for his golden dome and he wants it. So this is obviously a top priority for the president and the members of his administration. We'll click their meeting with J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. We'll keep you posted as that develops. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we've extended that sale, that 40% off mega sale, for a couple more hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out. The hoodies. I know a lot of you guys like the hoodie I had on last week. It is on sale. It's about $30 less than it was last week. So now's a good time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and snatch up one of those great hoodies for a limited time only. Again, folks, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll have more in just a few minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing, she'd gotten it and used it. came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot of issues we want to make sure we get to. Specifically, we'll get to the corporate media trying to lie about Joe Rogan. I think that they're trying to misinterpret what Rogan said on his podcast, of course, to make it seem like he's against the ICE raids. We're also going to be talking about what you saw unravel yesterday over at the Supreme Court, because it's very, very interesting. Now, it started off as one would expect. As many of you guys know, we covered it here. It's related to a case regarding transgenders allowed to enter into women's sports, girls' sports. No, obviously, you know, that's our take. Common sense. Biological men have no place in girls' sports. Now, that's being battled out, though, at the Supreme Court level. And Justice Jackson, as many of you guys know, who's obviously a fire-breathing liberal in clip 13, well, she pretty much said what you'd expect her to say in regards to this case. Take a listen.
This notion that this is really just about the definition of who we accept that you can separate boys and girls, and we are now looking at the definition of a girl, and we're saying only people who were girl assigned at birth qualify.
And
yeah, well, that makes sense. But reminder, when she was being confirmed for her position, she was unable to even define what a woman is, which is obviously very controversial nowadays. And speaking of controversy, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who apparently is supposed to be that conservative justice that was appointed by President Trump in his first term, well, she doesn't want to be mislabeling these biological men who are struggling with, or boys who are struggling with mental health issues. And instead, she decided to kind of go with the narrative in clip 14. Take a listen.
You're just drawing the line based on biological sex and saying that trans girls can't be on the girls' team in an age group that's prepubescent.
The record in this case does not support the notion that males lack an athletic advantage at 6 years old. That's about as early as the science goes from what's in the record. And even at that age, males have about a 5% athletic advantage over girls in most situations. Now,
obviously, that's disturbing that she's going with the narrative using the word trans girls. No, not trans girls, honey. We're talking about biological boys who are struggling with mental health issues. And she repeatedly did that yesterday during the hearing, during the opening arguments. Joining me to discuss, Matthew Marsden. He's an actor, producer, and a contributor over at The Blaze. And he joins us now to discuss. Matthew, it's an honor always to have you on the program. But, you know, obviously you're a father. You got a lot of kids. You're running a little baseball team over there. And so this is an issue that's going to be very close and dear to your heart in regards to protecting girls' sports. Yesterday's opening arguments, obviously, were very controversial, given the fact that a conservative justice is playing into the narrative that there's something called trans girls. Your reaction to hearing Justice Barrett sit there and continue to play into their narrative?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure. Amy Coney Barrett is a Catholic, and actually my friend went to law school with her at Notre Dame, and he said that she was absolutely the smartest person in the room at all times. Mm-hmm. And he is, and I say that not facetiously, like she's very, very, very smart, mm-hmm. which you would hope you would get for a Supreme Court justice in the same way you would hope that you could get someone that understands and can define what a woman is. It's very worrying to me that she's using this kind of rhetoric, because she knows clearly, I mean, just as a Catholic, that there's no such thing as a trans girl or a trans boy. I mean, this is a fallacy. As you said, it is a mental illness that needs to be dealt with, especially in young kids. I mean, my friend Noel Mehring wrote a book called Awake, Not Woke, which talks about this and how kids these days are getting more and more pressured to find themselves a little bit more different than the others. And that's why, you know, you can be a special person just by saying that you're a trans. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to be excellent at sports or anything like that to get the attention. So a lot of the times that is what they're doing. It's very, very worrying for me that she's doing that. Now, on the other hand, I do think that a lot of the times these intellectuals like to over-intellectualize things and go into the world of hypotheses and I'm gonna argue this out. I'm like, this is absolutely not the time to do that. It's absolutely not the time to do that. It's very bizarre. And the only thing that I, you know, can kind of, well, there's two things that come out of this. I think that when Amy Coney Barrett became a Supreme Court justice, she was under a lot of pressure, and her and her family were targeted by the lunatic left, right? I mean, they did put a lot of pressure on her family around her home. So I don't know if that is playing into it. I hope not. I think that these justices do have a lot of pressure, that they're worried that there's going to be violence enacted on them. But also I think that she might be, I'd hope, let's hope, Brianna, that she's playing both sides and she's saying, I'm going to use this rhetoric to kind of show that I'm a little bit more accepting of what the left has to say, when really inside I know that this is absolutely not true. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think she should entertain that in any way, shape or form. I think it's very dangerous, especially, as I said, you have, and what you said, there are people on that Supreme Court that can't define what a woman is, which is troubling in and of itself.
Yeah, no, it is troubling. And it's a whole new level of stupidity. And, you know, I'm excited that it's obviously being played out in front of the Supreme Court. Hopefully this will put an end to a lot of this that's popping up all across the country. Again, I just don't even understand why we argue this back and forth. I mean, they're talking about possibly boys who have not yet hit puberty being able to still make their way into girls' sports. It's just, it's common. It's common fact. We are different. Both genders are different. And it's okay that we're different. And I'm just so fed up with this push to pretend like it's not the case. And that we also, like, I was going to play it for you, but it's just too much for me to have to listen to because there's no rebuttal. But there's a girl who's sitting there and saying, like, oh, yeah, I mean, maybe girls could play into boy sports if they just tried a little harder, if they practice. I mean, it's just, there's a biological difference here. And you either get it or you don't get it. And haven't been able to sink to that level of stupidity for myself. Matthew.
Well, can I just give you an actual example that happened to me this week? My son, who's 12, was playing on a basketball team. And, you know, me and a bunch of the, it's the school basketball team. And me and a bunch of the parents are there. And the other side fielded two girls in their basketball team as co-ed. I do not think there should be any co-ed sports whatsoever. And you could see, I saw my son not be as aggressive as he would be and pull back when he was going for the ball with the girl. And, you know, I mean, even at that age, you say that, you know, things aren't as different I wouldn't say like when you're prepubescent, right? But when the testosterone starts kicking in, but they are, even at 12, at 11 and 12, the boys are more aggressive. They're stronger. And you can see if you are raising a child traditionally, as I am, he has sisters. He's not going to go and attack the ball like he would with another boy. If he flattens another boy on the court, okay, that's it. Get up, deal with it. If he flattens a girl, then he's going to feel terrible. So you can see these kids pulling back. And if they don't pull back, then you have to question, like, what kind of a boy am I raising where they're not respecting the difference between the genders, which is what we want, right? We should, the difference in the genders should be celebrated. Mm-hmm. Or should say the sexes should be celebrated, right? Boys and girls are different and God made them that way. And that should be celebrated.
Yeah, no, it should be. It should be. And that's what we're trying to do over here. I want to switch up topics a little bit, though, because obviously it's been very controversial to have our federal government going out there and actually carrying through with federal immigration laws. Apparently, the left doesn't believe in that anymore, although they were fine with it when it was Barack Obama. But now they're all fired up over it. But I want to play a clip for you. This was clip 15 that we're going to get to, because Joe Rogan is catching a bit of headlines these days with this comment that was made. But it's interesting, because I'm going to play the complete thought, the complete sentence. There's like a 9-second clip that's circulating online, and it makes it sound like he's going after these ICE agents, but that's not the case when you listen to the full clip. Take a listen.
Because I see both perspectives. I see the perspective of the people that say, hey, there was an illegal program moving people in here to get votes, moving people in here to get congressional seats, and we've got to change that. We've got to take those people that got in and send them back to where they came from or do something. Because if we don't, they're going to keep doing it if they get in office again in 2028, and it's going to accelerate. And you're going to have to take away some of the damage that's been done to a true democratic system, because you've kind of hijacked it. And they kind of have. And then I can also see the point of view of the people that say, yeah, but you don't want militarized people in the streets just roaming around, snatching people up, many of which turn out to actually be U.S. citizens that just don't have their papers on them. Are we really going to be the Gestapo? Where's your papers? Is that what we've come to? So it's more complicated than I think people want to admit. You know, people want to look at this as a black and white issue, you know, if you're a compassionate person or if you're a pragmatic person. And I don't think that's true. I think it's both.
Okay, so NBC is running this headline, and it's making it seem like he feels like they are being Gestapos, is kind of the angle they're going with there. And I actually just turned over to Fox News, and Fox News is having the DHS secretary, the spokeswoman, Trish McLaughlin, give comment on this. And again, it's all taken out of context, in my opinion. I'll let you comment on this, because I think they're just specifically going for that one sentence when he's trying to make the argument about both sides' perspectives on all of this. But again, it's a 9-second clip that's circulating online. I don't know why anyone else didn't do the digging to listen into what he was actually saying and full. To me, though, Matthew, it sounds like they're just trying to stir up the tensions. But do you think that he's out here criticizing ICE, or is he trying to give you both perspectives?
I don't think he's criticizing ICE at all. I think, as you said, he's trying to show what both sides are saying within the context of this one incident. I mean, firstly, I find it absolutely hilarious that the left is now embracing the guy that they lambasted and lied about when they said that he was talking about giving people horse paste, right? So, you know, the left has absolutely no morality in any way, shape or form. They'll go for whoever will give them the most clicks and what they perceive to be their angle. We know now not to look at any videos on social media without questioning how long are they and why have you selectively edited them? We've seen this over and over and over again with people coming in and showing, let's say, ICE agents going and detaining someone without showing what led up to that moment. And I think that especially with this shooting in Minnesota, what you see is people sharing the one angle. And it's like these aren't the droids you're looking for, with the other angle that clearly shows that the woman hits the ICE agent with the car. So I think what Joe is doing there is he's trying to say, okay, listen, we've got to look at both aspects of what people are saying here, not whether the incident is one way or the other, but what both groups are saying, and we've got to come to some kind of compromise. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I speak with ICE agents all the time, and I'm a little bit more radical than the majority of them, because when I talk to them, they say, hey, I literally had this conversation with an ICE agent where he said to me, he goes, Matt, we're not rounding up grannies or anything like that. And I said, well, you should be, because I'm a guy that came here. I'm an immigrant. I came here the right way. And it kind of annoys me that people think that they can just walk over the border, and just because, quite frankly, because they have a different skin color to me, then they can stay here. That is not right. People don't, the left doesn't seem to care about that, about fairness when it comes to these things. It's all agenda driven. So, I mean, clearly, in my opinion, I think you share the same opinion, that what Joe is saying is like, we've got to get to the bottom of this. Also, with the left does not want any kind of legitimate conversation about this. We tend to go into these things saying, okay, hang on a second. Let's look at the circumstances. Let's look at the law. For example, I saw someone today on X saying, you are not allowed to shoot a moving vehicle, right? Mm. Yeah, you're right. But you are allowed to shoot the person in that vehicle if there's an imminent threat to life. And that ICE agent thought, that his life or the lives of others were in danger. So it's a legitimate shoot. And you can see that all they want is to demonize the ICE agents. For some reason, they love the fact that they can in some way, shape or form demonize them, dehumanize them. And of course, as the left does, call people Nazis. And I think that, you know, Joe was right in what he was saying. He was like, hey, listen, we don't want these, you know, we don't want American citizens stopped and being asked for papers. I've not seen that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just not true. So I think that what he's doing is he's talking about the commentary on it rather than the incidents.
Yeah, no, I mean, that seems to be the case. And again, I just get so enraged because they're trying to create a little bit of friction as if he's siding with those radical lefties who don't understand reality, or at least pretend to not understand the reality of the situation. But I think it's really interesting. Also worth noting, too, Renee Good's family, the woman who was killed in that shooting, just also recently hired, it looks like according to the Washington Post, the same firm that went out there and did the investigation, the civil investigation for George Floyd. So just keep that in the back of your mind that the same characters are all coming together to make this masterpiece, of course. I want to shift gears over to another obviously important ICE angle to all of this. This one gave me a good chuckle yesterday. It's clip 16, and it appears to be an ICE agent talking about his job and his work and what he loves to do. Take a listen.
I don't care what they told you. If you guys get in my way, I will arrest you.
Sir, we're just observing. Please calm down.
You can observe all you want.
I am observing. Do you see me in the way? I am back.
You had anger issues as a kid, didn't you? Were your parents present? You should be ashamed of yourself, man.
He is.
I love my job. Thank you.
You love your job?
I can't believe I get paid for this.
Really?
I do this for free.
Really? I get $200K. I'm a physician assistant.
How long did you go to school for that?
Over 7 years.
I went to high school. I make $200K.
People regard me as someone valuable in society. What about you? Is yours has prestige? No, it doesn't. Come out on the phone if you can.
Yeah, they didn't like that too much. I mean, he's obviously prideful of his job, and I would be too if I was someone who is constantly going out there and scooping up sex offenders and murderers and taking them off the streets. But they don't seem to understand that, Matthew. Why is that?
Well, you know, they're so indoctrinated. They've chosen a side now, and I think this is what everyone really needs to understand. They've chosen a side. Orange Man bad. Anything that Orange Man does is bad. Anything associated with Orange Man is bad. So they don't have the intelligence to look and say, look, this is a person, and almost every single law enforcement officer and ICE agent and FBI agent or whatever, those guys that I've met are massive patriots, and they have, it's a calling to them. It's a vocation. They want to go and do good. They want to go and protect American citizens. And when you're looking at ICE agents, as I said to you before, they're going after the worst. They're going after these gang members. They've already got rid of out of that area 1,000 rapists and murderers. And these people are being condescending to the men and women that are actually protecting them and protecting their kids. I can't love any more what that guy said. I mean, it's totally based. He's right. I mean, the decent Americans are looking, and they know what those guys are. They're heroes. They're heroes that are protecting us and protecting our kids. And so we're in a situation now where I don't see, honestly, Brianna, I've really tried to think about how we come together with the left. And it's not through a lack of trying from the right, where we sit with them and go, hey, listen, can we just look at this in a logical way, like a non-emotional way? I mean, the condescension, the way they talk to him, like, oh, you just left high school. So what? So what? Does that mean he's not intelligent? Part of this goes back to the indoctrination in colleges and the elitism that people have who go to, for the most part, go and get, you know, they think they're better than us because they got a degree in basket weaving, right? They're not looking at this guy who is willing to risk his life as being a virtuous individual, or think that he might be intelligent because he doesn't follow what they think. And by the way, as you said before, ICE agents were there under Obama. ICE agents were there under Joe Biden. They were still doing their job under those two presidents. It's just now they've decided that those are the bad guys. I don't know who's done this, Brianna, but in the shadowy conspiracies, you have to stop and think, why in particular have they decided to go after ICE? I think that there's going to be a massive uncovering of voter fraud. And I think they're terrified of that. And I think that it goes all the way up the chain to the politicians, which is why they're using this rhetoric. And it's very, very dangerous. And all it says to me is we got to double down on it. And all these people have to go.
Yeah.
No, they do all have to go.
Well, it's the other thing, too, is they're trying to, like, say that some people could stay, some people could go. Like, that's not what the American people voted for. They voted for mass deportations, which means all of them need to go. And, you know, Mars and I actually just got this update, and I wanted to read to our audience because CBS News just pushed this out. According to two sources that they've spoken to, they're saying that the ICE agent who was, I won't say his name, but obviously it's in the tweet, so sorry about that. But the ICE agent who was hit by the vehicle did sustain injuries, including internal bleeding. Now, again, we're told that, oh, no, he shouldn't have shot. He didn't have the right way to shoot because his life wasn't in danger. But it looks like internal bleeding. I mean, that's enough to confirm, number one, that she did make contact with him, even though we saw it from multiple angles that she did. But number two, that his life, in fact, was at risk because, again, he's suffering from internal bleeding. I mean, Marsden, they're trying to rewrite everything, but it's very obvious that this guy, his life was at risk, that she decided to make these decisions on her own. And yet here they are spinning a new narrative and trying to make it seem like she was just an innocent woman peacefully protesting that day.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether he had internal bleeding or not. It's the perception of what he thought might happen to him. He already got dragged 300 yards previously. He was on, if you look at the video, again, none of this is relevant. What is relevant is what he perceived, the danger that he perceived from her and somebody else. And by the way, they're going to memory hole this. They're going to turn around and say that it's a lie. Watch. We all know it. The problem is, as I said before, we are going into this rationally, put in a handout saying, hey, listen, and by the way, Brianna, if we saw that this was an unlawful shoot, we would say it.
Yeah.
We would say it because we don't want that. We don't want that to happen. In the same way, I said it from the very beginning, why did she not comply? The first thing I say to my kids, and by the way, look, I grew up in the UK where they don't really have guns. There are some guns, but not like in America. The cops don't carry guns. So when I came to the United States, I had to change my perspective about what it means to be stopped by a cop, which is the number one most stressful situation that a police officer is in. So what do? You comply. You comply. It's very simple. I got stopped by the cops. The first time I did, I basically put my hands out of the car to show that I didn't have anything in my hands. And people might think that's ridiculous, but I'm like, I'm not taking any chances. And I know that the justice system, however corrupt it is right now, will still give me my chance in court. And that's it. That's all you have to do. And these people don't live in the real world. They don't truly understand the consequences of their actions. And part of that, Brianna, is to do with the fact that as men, by the way, I'm just going to say it, though it might not be popular, but as men, we have rough and tumble play, right? When we're kids, we fight with one another. We know the difference of physical strength. If you play football, you know what it's like to be hit by a guy. Women, for the most part, don't have that. So they don't truly understand the threat of violence like a man does. And what has happened over many years, unfortunately, because we're seeing this with men as well, they aren't having that kind of contact. If you have ever been punched in the face or been in any kind of altercation with another man or been in a physical altercation, I used to spar all the time, taekwondo and boxing, comply, comply, because the threat of violence is very, very real. And that's even not without the threat of having a gun pulled on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Marston, it's common sense, and it's just not so common these days. It's not so common these days. We want to thank you for joining us. As always, though, thank you, my friend, Matthew Marston, joining us again. Folks, if you follow, make sure you follow him on YouTube if you don't do it already. Matthew D. Marston is where you could find him. He's also available on X as well, and he gives you so many breakdowns. Again, this is the guy you're going to follow. He gives you very interesting perspectives on all of this. Matthew Marston, as always, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we're going to shift over gears a little bit because, well, we've reached the end of the show. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Of course, working on a big show for you guys tomorrow as well. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. A couple more hours left and that 40% off mega sale that's going on right now. We've extended that again over at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited time. And again, the hoodies you guys like all on sale right now. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab up these items before it's too late. Only a few more hours left. Also, you only have 3 days left to enter that Ford Raptor plus $10,000 cash giveaway. You get into that whenever you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, that does it for us. The Alex Jones Show starts up next. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.